God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We've been teaching that second one. The first one was the just, and the second one tells us that faith. Okay, so now you must understand that the baby in the womb, the first sense that's developed is hearing. There are more nerve endings connected to the brain related to your audio system than any other. More is given to your hearing than your seeing. Why? Because God knew that faith comes by hearing. Therefore, he wanted you to have a greater capacity to hear. And what has the devil been fighting for control in your life more than anything else? Your hearing. Listen, it's your hearing. The rate, again, I told you everything with me is research. There's more depression in our world now than ever before, and it's related to the fact that we have 24-hour news stations. We never had that before. People were gayer. People were happier. So I watched. I put on the news the day of the snow, and I listened to the newscaster lie. Oh, I'm telling you right now, we're looking at this scene right here, and the snow is all the way up to your wheel. And unfortunately, somebody forgot to tell the cameraman to keep it on the Lion Sport newscaster. And when he turned it, you saw that it was only about an inch or so up to the tire. They were saying, oh, don't go down Broad Street because it's treacherous. It's this way and that way. And I'm driving down Broad Street. So what are they doing? They're poisoning your hearing. Because your hearing is the doorway to your faith. I have entered into a covenant with God that I am not going to allow my mouth to say what my brain thinks. Do you understand me? You see, the devil can bring you a thought, but when you speak it, that's you giving a consent to the thought. I don't have to say everything that comes into my mind. Even if a person is a jerk, I don't have to say it out my mouth. Why? The Bible says you will have what you say. He doesn't say you will have what you think. He says what you think is what makes you what you are. But you will have what you say. So all this time we spent on teaching principles of faith, now it's time to put it into practice. So here's what God is saying. You've been here long enough, all right? So we're going to break this thing up into small bites, and I'm doing each sermon, the 7:30 services. You've been here long enough in financial despair. And I'm going to put it to you in the colloquialism the Spirit gave it to me. He didn't talk like this to everybody else because everybody else would probably be offended. He said, tell them they've been here long enough being broke. It's time to change. You've been trying to put 16 ounces of blessing in an 8-ounce cup, and that's why your life's a mess. If I have passages in the Bible that tell me that God wants me to live a successful life, that God wants me to have a life filled with joy, then if I'm not experiencing it, then something is wrong. Listen to this. Now, we're going to talk about your money. Because that's an area where your faith is really being attacked. And most of you that are depressed and sad, it's because you're broke. And that's what makes you susceptible to the charlatans who try to give you get-rich-quick schemes. And you fall for them. Now, the unscrupulous preachers who try to buy into your fear by giving you passages of scripture that have not been validated in order for you to have some degree of hope that you are going to have this financial breakthrough. Early in my ministry, I was guilty of the same thing because I became what I beheld and I taught things that were lies. but it's just what I heard. And it's just been perpetuated through the body of Christ. And so you, the parishioner, you sit in want and lack. But the preacher models this life funded by you. That would mean that God is a respecter of persons. Because they got 4 or 5 houses. You're still in an apartment. You can't make ends meet. And they're telling you to keep giving. But you don't see them give. They just get a bag of money and leave. And charge you for the release of the anointing. And please forgive my colloquialism. Because they know that Pentecostals are stupid. You have never seen a word of faith preacher in a Presbyterian church. Not like we get them. They'll tell you to believe God. They'll tell you to put your trust in the Lord. But they don't do all this spacey stuff that we do. They don't tell you to bring your bills down to the front and step on them and bind that demon of poverty. And there is no demon of poverty. I'm trying to teach you principles that you can take home with you, not things that you hear and forget about. Watch this. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching this kingdom message. The so-called Sermon on the Mount is an expose on kingdom principles. That's all it is. Jesus wants you to develop a hunger for kingdom living. So he says, seek it first. You notice that? Seek first the kingdom of God. The verb in the Greek means find out how it works. Now, how many of us, when we came to Christ, gave our lives to Jesus, and then had our leaders teach us how the kingdom works? They expected you to fumble your way into it. Even our teachers, they don't teach us how the kingdom works. They teach us what they think the Bible is saying. And they leave you confused at the end of the semester. So you understand the eschatological plan of God. But how does that, what does that mean to you? What is the essence of Christianity? What is it? Jesus tries to teach us in the so-called Sermon on the Mount. The principles in that message are the principles of the kingdom. And that's what God said. Find out how it works. How does the kingdom work? Do you know, as a child of God, you are not allowed to retaliate? I don't know if I said it at this service or one of the midday services. I don't even remember, but I'll say it again. And if I did, just bear with me. The Bible tells us there are 10 commandments. Right? Moses receives these commandments from God for the children of Israel. Why? Because they are going into a new land and they need to know God's views for everyday life. Now, if you read the Ten Commandments, you will find that the Ten Commandments has one underlying word, and that's relationship. You start off by having a relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't blaspheme my name. Set aside a day to honor me and rest your bodies. Then he goes into relationships with families. Honor your mother and father, because they're going to teach you how to be good citizens so that your life will be blessed. Then he's going to tell you how to have relationships with your fellow man. Don't kill them, don't steal from them, don't lie on them, and don't take their spouses. That's what it says. And then he says, and don't covet what they have. I love that commandment. You don't have to covet what I have. Go get your own. And yours might be better than mine for you. Lord, I love that. Never let your life be run by what you see developing in somebody else, because you don't know the price that was paid for them to have what they have. Rejoice in your uniqueness and in your specialness. Hallelujah. Comfort yourself by saying, God has given me exactly what he wants me to have, and what you have is what God has for you. So I rejoice in your gift, and you rejoice in my gift, and that way I won't try to rob from you, because I'm satisfied. Woo! Tell your neighbor, I don't want anything you have. I don't want your husband. I don't want your wife. I don't want. And remember, all men are liars. So he goes into teaching us how we should live. He started out with what? Attitudes. So Jesus does, my God, Jesus does exactly what God does to bring us into a new realm. God says, you're going into the land of the Babylonians, you're going into the land of the Hittites, you're going into the land of the Amorites, so forth and so on. So I'm going to give you these rules called commandments, and you are to live by them, because they will show the existing worlds that you are different, qualitatively different. So you follow these 10 things. We are the born again children of God, and we break the Ten Commandments every day. And I can tell you one right now that you break and have no defense for. You have no Sabbath. Amen. You keep the other nine. Pastor, I don't commit adultery. I don't lie. I don't steal. I've honored my parents. I praise the Lord. I don't take his name in vain. And then you get down to the last one. Well, what do you do on Saturday? Well, I run my business. The Bible said you're not supposed to do that. Amen. But you removed it. You decided you were just going to remove one of the commandments because it was okay to do. So what are you going to tell God when you get to heaven?
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 1118A. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.